I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Tonight we will look at two models of holistic cancer care that integrates traditional with alternative and thus offers not only cutting-edge surgery and chemotherapy, but also nutrition, yoga, meditation, and other mind-body-spirit interventions in one site. My first guest is Dr. Adam Perlman, who received his medical degree at Boston University School of Medicine and his Master's of Public Health at Boston University School of Public Health. He is Director of Integrative Medicine for the St. Barnabas Healthcare System and Medical Director for the Carroll and Morton Ziegler Center for Integrative Medicine in Livingston, New Jersey. He developed and oversees the complementary and alternative medicine programs that include both the Integrative Medical Center and the Center for Health and Wellness. His clinical practice focuses primarily on general wellness, fibromyalgia, chronic pain, and cancer. In 2002, he became executive director for the Institute for Complementary and Alternative Medicine at the University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey, where he is now an assistant professor of medicine. In 2004, he was named the endowed professor of complementary and alternative medicine at the same university. And in 2000, he was recognized by his peers at St. Barnabas with the Excellence in Caring Award. His scholarly activities include numerous grants and publications, including book chapters on arthritis, and he is currently the principal investigator of 4 funded projects. He was guest editor of the Complementary and Alternative Medicine volume of Medical Clinics of North America and is associate editor for Complementary and Alternative Medicine section of the Physician Information and Education resource that was developed by the American College of Physicians and American Society for Internal Medicine. He is a father of 5 children and a 5th degree black belt, and also an instructor in martial arts. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Adam, and I look forward to learning more about cancer care at the Ziegler Center for Integrative Medicine.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you, Adam. First, I understand that you are the founding medical director of the Ziegler Center of Integrative Medicine. Can you tell us about the history of the center and how it was established?
Sure. Well, originally, and this would be probably about 12 or 13 years ago, Carol and Morton Ziegler, who were sort of board of trustee members at St. Barnabas Medical Center, were interested, due to some personal experiences with integrative medicine and complementary medicine, in seeing the medical center develop a program where we could provide these services. And in 1998, I guess it was, I was recruited to develop an integrative medical center. And I think, you know, back then there were not a lot of examples of departments or programs or centers within medical centers, mm-hmm. within academic medical centers that actually provided alternative medicine on some level, mm-hmm. acupuncture, massage, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was certainly some trepidation on the part of the healthcare system, the medical center, but I was fortunate enough to be hired to put that program together. And really the focus from the beginning was on trying to really integrate mm-hmm. the center and the services into the conventional medical settings. So we actually have a integrative medicine center now, the Ziegler Center, as you mentioned, that is within our large St. Barnabas Ambulatory Care Center in Livingston, New Jersey, and it's a state-of-the-art, you know, ambulatory care center with an outpatient surgical center and breast center and a number of specialty clinics and typical, but, you know, really quite exquisite ambulatory care center where we, along with all those services, pain mm-hmm. center, we also have now for the last over 10 years this integrative center where we provide a number of services.
Mm-hmm. So how would a cancer patient benefit from coming to the Ziegler Center?
Well, again, our approach, which is really an integrative medical approach, so we're looking to combine the best of conventional medicine with the best of non-conventional and complementary medicine. Our approach is to work closely with the other healthcare providers, physicians, other healthcare providers, in this case oncologists perhaps, and others that are working with the patient, and really try to support the patient typically while they're undergoing conventional treatment. I mean, I think we certainly see three different categories that of patients related to cancer. One is those looking to prevent the development of cancer. The other is those who are actively undergoing treatment for cancer. And then we also see a fair amount of patients who have sort of finished treatment and want to remain cancer-free. So, the approach may vary a little bit depending on, obviously, the patient, but what stage they're at or what their particular goals are. But in general, we provide a number of different services. I do what is sort of referred to as an integrative medicine consultation, where I'll look at really six main areas. I mean, I'll look at conventional care, but also coupled with appropriate nutrition, and we have a number of nutritionists we work with that are within the center, appropriate exercise. We have a medical fitness center within the building that is requires a doctor's clearance, so it's more medically oriented. It's not about pumping iron. It's for people that really have maybe some medical limitations, and so it's less intimidating, and really an educated staff that knows how to design appropriate exercise programs. But I also focus on, obviously, complementary and alternative medicine that may be appropriate. And for cancer patients, that can be anything from acupuncture, which can be helpful for a number of symptoms, pain, nausea, fatigue, massage therapy for pain, stress management. We actually have a clinical herbalist who's a nurse herbalist who works with herbal medications, again, to control symptoms and to help to prevent or fight off cancer in addition to conventional treatment. We have mind-body medicine, clinical psychologist who's trained in cognitive behavioral therapy but also does visualization, relaxation, biofeedback, those sorts of mind-body interventions. And that sort of overlaps with another area of the six, which would be emotional stress management. You know, that's a critical component for anyone who's dealing with any medical condition, certainly chronic and certainly potentially life-threatening. So trying to aggressively address sort of those issues. And then finally, as a part of an integrative approach, the issue of spirituality is something that, that also I'll address with my patients. And I think often sort of say that that need not necessarily come through religion. I think that's wonderful if people get a sense of spirituality and are connected through their religion, but one need not be overly religious or even affiliated with any particular religion to still have a sense of purpose and meaning. And I think when you're dealing with a serious, potentially life-threatening illness, something like cancer, you need a sense of purpose and meaning. And if you don't have a good handle on that, it's difficult to remember why you should get out of bed every day and why you should potentially undergo all these treatments that may make you sick before they make you better. So all of these components would go into sort of an initial consultation to try to determine, obviously based on what a patient's wishes are and whatnot, you know, a plan of care that's appropriate for them.
And I understand you have a multidisciplinary cancer wellness program.
We do. That was a program that we've put together. It was supported, sort of subsidized by donor Helen Beck, and basically what we've done is to try to package some of the services together, because at the core of it, everyone, just about everyone who's undergoing treatment for cancer needs to be eating right, needs to be exercising, needs to be managing stress. And so what this program is it's a program where we offer nutritional counseling, exercise at the Center for Health and Wellness, stress management, in this case primarily through massages, and then a yoga, but yoga that's taught specifically for people that may have particular needs or medical limitations. Instructor's very tuned to that. So we've sort of kind of put that together as a place to begin for many of our patients. Not all of our patients take advantage of that, but some, even some that don't want to go through the whole integrative consultation, might choose to just go directly to our sort of cancer wellness program as a place to, you know, begin to find support for themselves as they're dealing with all that they're dealing with.
I think it's wonderful that you have a holistic approach, because you don't see that all the time in other hospitals.
And I think that many hospitals are trying to offer services. services here and there. I think the key to what we're really working hard to do at our particular institution, I think others as well, is to really try and coordinate these services at many of the hospital-based programs. You don't necessarily have, for example, a physician that you could meet with who can kind of look at the whole picture and step back and look at issues of mind, body, and spirit and try to help coordinate that. You don't always have sort of programs kind of packaged together, and patients aren't sure what they should be doing or what direction they should be going. And so we really wanted to try to facilitate that. And from the beginning, what was important was that the services we provide are really a part of the way that we care for patients with cancer in this particular case, and not simply window dressing, not simply something that we wanted to be able to kind of put in a brochure or whatnot to help attract people to our medical center. So that's been the kind of goal from the beginning, and I've been fortunate enough to be a part of it and, and to see it kind of grow from an idea to something that now is really serving our patients.
I like especially that the spiritual is a big part of this, because as a nurse, I have seen that lacking throughout the healthcare system going back many years.
I mean, that's a big part of an integrative approach to care in general. And I don't know how many of your listeners will be familiar with the term integrative medicine or integrative health, but you know, I think it was originally coined by Andy Weil, and who's at University of Arizona and has a fellowship there for in integrative medicine. It's sort of a health guru that I'm sure many of your listeners will be familiar with. But it really is a patient-centered approach to care where you're looking at issues of mind, body, and spirit with an openness to treatment options that come from other healing traditions. I think it's still taking an evidence-based approach and looking at where there is evidence to support various complementary modalities, where there may not be evidence, but really looking to try to incorporate appropriate modalities, but then also looking at the whole person, as I've said, considering issues of mind, body, and spirit. And this is really a growing interest within the conventional medical establishment. Certainly outside of conventional medicine, there are many providers, acupuncturists, holistic providers who are well ahead of the conventional medical establishment in recognizing the benefits of these treatments. But you know, for example, we have, there's now a consortium of academic health centers for integrative medicine. It's now made up of 44, you know, what I would say is leading academic health centers, everything from certainly our university here in New Jersey, UMDNJ, but, you know, Harvard, Yale, UCSF, Georgetown, Johns Hopkins are all members of this consortium, all having programs within their conventional academic centers dedicated to integrative health. And, and I think that is a real change for the conventional system, and I think a very welcome change on the part of many patients.
I think that you have kind of covered philosophical approach to patients, but would you just reemphasize then your philosophical approach to treating patients?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Some of that did come out in what I've already said, but I guess the way I could probably answer that would be to sort of tell you and your listeners what I typically will tell a patient. Well, this may sound a little silly, but on some level, but obviously this is a bad thing by definition. And we wish it didn't happen, but it has, and now we need to deal with it. And how do we really beat it? And how do we beat it from, as we were saying, a more philosophical perspective? I mean, first of all, we beat it by getting that cancer out of your body and doing everything possible through both conventional and integrative or non-conventional approaches to kill the cancer, get it out, and make sure that it never comes back. But on a little bit more of a philosophical level, I think we beat it by trying to use this thing, which is bad by definition, to really create some good. And, you know, what good could come out of this? Well, first of all, if you are healthier than you ever were when you finished treatment, believe me, then you've really accomplished something and you've really beaten it. Healthier not only on a physical level, but healthier emotionally, healthier spiritually. Perhaps relationships in your life are healthier and your life is healthier. Perhaps you have more balance in your life. Now, to do that, you need to step back and reassess issues like spirituality, like purpose and meaning and what's really important to you. You need to, if you aren't already, begin a program that strengthens you both physically as well as emotionally and spiritually. So that's where, you know, looking at exercising and eating properly and managing stress comes in. These are also things that you can do that are under your control. And for many patients who are dealing with chronic diseases or in particular cancer, one of the most difficult aspects of dealing with the condition is the lack of a sense of control.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, what you put in your mouth, whether or not you exercise safely and to the best of your ability, not overdoing it, how you choose to manage stress, those are things that are within your control, can give you a heightened sense of control, and in that regard alone can be very therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really become sort of the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've had many examples of patients that have really had a wonderful transition and healing process, and through the healing process have transitioned to a life that was much more balanced and much healthier, again, on a physical, emotional, spiritual level, than their life prior to their diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. What services are provided then at the Ziegler Center?
Well, specifically, I may have touched on most of them, but
mm-hmm.
specifically we have myself as the medical director, so an integrative consultation. We have several acupuncturists. We have, again, several nutritionists. And, you know, we do sort of nutritional interventions, you know, specific diets. I've done some training in functional medicine, for example. But we also have a weight management program, and you know, we're usually not overly aggressive about weight management
mm-hmm.
while a patient's undergoing treatment for cancer, but certainly as a part of a long-term strategy, you know, weight management is something that we have a focused program on.
Mm-hmm.
We have a number of massage therapists who offer a number of different types of techniques. Again, all of your listeners may not be aware, but there are over 80 different types of therapeutic massage.
Oh.
So for some patients, the typical Swedish massage, the kind of rubbing and kneading and pounding, may be appropriate. But for others, other techniques, for example, we offer a technique called Traeger, which is a much more gentle technique and focuses more on breathing and other things.
Mm-hmm.
That may be more appropriate if, because of physical limitations, can't handle Swedish or a deeper type massage, or, you know, for other various reasons. So we offer a number of different types. I already mentioned, but we do have a psychologist, and as I mentioned, it's biofeedback.
Mm-hmm.
He makes relaxation tapes and teaches breathing techniques and visualization and progressive relaxation. We have a nurse who is a trained herbalist, clinical herbalist, and more botanical herbalist, not Chinese herbs, but North
mm-hmm.
American, European herbs. She's excellent, trained with some of the top herbalists in the country, perhaps the world, David Winston, for example. And given her nursing background, is also an expert on sort of drug-herb interactions and making sure to avoid those sorts of things, so we can offer that level of counseling. We have other sort of programs. So, you know, for example, as I mentioned, yoga
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Tai Chi, some of those types of programs. And then finally, it's sort of a separate but kind of connected at the hip program is our Center for Health and Wellness, which
mm-hmm.
is this medical fitness center that is primarily staffed by exercise physiologists who really are focused on designing safe and appropriate exercise programs for people who have medical conditions and limitations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I forgot anything. I think that's pretty much it.
Sounds great, Adam. And how would someone go about making an appointment or getting more information on your center?
Well, the two easiest ways would be to call, and I can give you the number. It's 973-322-7007. Or we do have a website, and you can certainly get information on the website, which I'm sure many of your listeners would find that convenient. And that would be the easiest, to go to St. Barnabas's website. So it's www.saintbarnabas, and that's saintbarnabas.com. So just saintbarnabas.com. And then you'll find on that homepage there's a sort of a clinical services section, and that you sort of hit that drop-down menu, and you'll see integrative medicine. If they click on that, that will take them directly to the Ziegler Center site, and they can see more about the services we offer and
mm-hmm.
and other information about the center itself.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Adam?
No, I just thank you for providing me the opportunity to talk with you today. It's always a pleasure and an honor to speak about our center. And you know, we've been doing this now for just about almost 11 years. And mm-hmm. back then, there wasn't a lot of centers opened. It's nice to see that more and more medical centers are recognizing the importance of
right.
integrative mm-hmm. approach, and you know, we're very proud of the services that we provide to our patients and our healthcare system.
Well, thank you very much, Adam. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
My second guest on the Holistic Health Show is Dr. Timothy Birdsall, a naturopathic physician who is vice president of Integrative Medicine at the Cancer Treatment Center of America. After receiving his doctorate in naturopathic medicine from Vassar University in Seattle, he taught there for 5 years. In 2008, he was appointed to serve a 4-year term on the National Advisory Council for Complementary and Alternative Medicine for the National Institutes of Health. He also served as Speaker of the House of Delegates and Vice President of the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians, and is currently President of the Oncology Academy of Naturopathic Physicians. Dr. Persol was founding editor-in-chief of Alternative Medicine Review and co-authored the book How to Prevent and Treat Cancer with Natural Medicine. Currently, he serves on the editorial consultants board for the journal Integrative Cancer Therapies.
I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Persol, and I look forward to hearing about the programs at the Cancer Treatment Center of America. You have a wide range of services at your center, ranging from traditional to complementary therapies. Could you give us an overview of these services?
Thank you, Carl. I'd love to. Cancer Treatment Centers of America is really focused on providing a broad, comprehensive approach to treating cancer. Cancer is a complex disease, and it really requires a very well-integrated, comprehensive approach to deal with it effectively. So we have the latest in conventional medical treatment, not only all of the approved chemotherapy agents, but a lot of experimental protocols, some very innovative ways in which we can deliver those chemotherapy agents. We have state-of-the-art radiation equipment, really radiation equipment that is second to none anywhere, mm-hmm. and the ability to treat cancers from a variety of perspectives, very skilled surgeons, in some cases doing surgical procedures that only a small handful of facilities in the world are able to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we blend that with evidence-based complementary and alternative medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a naturopathic physician. I'm board certified in naturopathic oncology. In addition to naturopathic medicine, we have intensive nutritional intervention, mind-body therapies, exercise and rehabilitation approaches, pastoral care and spiritual support. We have a wide variety of other therapies, acupuncture, chiropractic, all of those things offered under one roof in a team environment where all of those practitioners are working together every day
mm-hmm.
to make sure that we are providing the best options for our patients and creating an environment that's going to be most conducive to their healing.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that you had meditation and yoga mentioned as
yes.
part of the mind-body segment.
We have a variety of mind-body approaches that are included in what we do. We do offer individual counseling sessions for cancer patients or their caregivers. Cancer can be a very stressful disease.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people just need someone to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have a variety of classes, instruction in guided imagery, for example, or in meditation. We do offer yoga and Tai Chi classes, Qigong sessions as well. Those tend to be group activities. We also offer support groups and other kinds of educational opportunities for patients to learn more about their disease and more about how their body works and how their body and mind work together.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some therapeutic exercise kinds of classes, and by that I'm not thinking of physical exercise, but teaching people techniques like, for example, journaling
mm-hmm.
and how to process what's going on with them by writing it down on paper. Or other expressive arts, music opportunities, creative arts, sculpting with clay, creating other artworks like beaded art and things like that
mm-hmm.
that allow patients to really express themselves in a multitude of ways.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that it mentioned a stem cell.
We do have a stem cell transplant unit at our flagship hospital, Midwestern Regional Medical Center, which is in one of the North Chicago suburb.
Mm-hmm.
And that is primarily utilized in the treatment of hematologic malignancies, lymphoma, leukemia, multiple myeloma,
mm-hmm.
where the disease is actually a disease of the white blood cells or other
mm-hmm.
components of the bone marrow, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And in those cases, we do find that there are opportunities for doing stem cell transplantation. This is different from the stem cell research that
mm-hmm.
has been a fairly controversial topic in the U.S. for the last decade or so.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about here is collecting either from the patient themselves or from a family member or, in some cases, an unrelated donor,
mm-hmm.
Peripheral blood, meaning we're simply the process is very similar to donating blood. We collect blood, we separate out the stem cells that exist in the blood, and we store those, treat the patient usually with chemotherapy, although in some cases with radiation therapy, and then reinfuse those stem cells back into the patient to rebuild their bone marrow
mm-hmm.
so that we can actually destroy the cancer cells in the bone marrow and then put those stem cells back, which will then cause the body to start producing new red blood cells and
mm-hmm.
white blood cells into platelets.
And will you be starting more with the stem cell? I know I spoke with Dr. Somadi at Mount Sinai, New York, and they're doing the robotic surgery with prostate and with bladder, and they're rebuilding the bladder from the intestines, but they plan to move into the stem cell like Duke is currently doing.
There are a variety of ways in which various types of stem cells can be used to help either regenerate organs or other kinds of things. That's very experimental at this
mm-hmm.
point, but very exciting research nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
We've been focused more on immune therapies and utilizing immune responses
mm-hmm.
to enhance the outcomes from cancer
mm-hmm.
treatment. For example, we have two exciting cancer vaccine protocols that we're currently engaged in, one in ovarian cancer and one in malignant melanoma,
mm-hmm.
where we actually create unique vaccines for each patient. Literally, we're creating a drug.
Mm-hmm.
This is an FDA-approved trial. We're literally creating a drug that will ever only be used by one person.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking tumor samples from the patient, creating a vaccine against that tumor,
mm-hmm.
and then injecting that vaccine into the patient.
Mm-hmm.
So their immune system then can effectively fight the tumor.
Now, is this used in conjunction with radiation, or is it used independently?
It is typically used in situ right now in the experimental phases that we're in. It's typically
mm-hmm.
used in conjunction with surgery, and in the case of ovarian cancer, with chemotherapy.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So that the patient is what we would call optimally debulked, meaning
mm-hmm.
that we've removed all of the tumor that we can see or detect on scan, but we know that the patient is at high risk for developing a recurrence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that appears, based on the research that's been done so far, to be the best application for the use of vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
In general, vaccines have not been very effective when there is a large amount of cancer present.
Mm-hmm.
So that if someone has a big, 5-centimeter tumor, it's unlikely that immune activation by itself will help destroy that tumor.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can remove the tumor and remove the vast majority of the disease, from a statistical standpoint, someone has a 5-centimeter tumor and you can remove that, you're removing 99.99%
mm-hmm.
of the cancer cells
mm-hmm.
in their body, even if there are residual cells floating around in the circulation or other areas that are too small to detect.
Mm-hmm.
That gives the immune system its best opportunity to attack and destroy that cancer.
Mm-hmm. And what is your philosophical approach to treating patients with cancer?
Our philosophical approach really starts from a very simple place,
mm-hmm.
Which is that we are focused on the patient.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we do is focused on providing effective services and treatment to the patient. We're not primarily an educational institution. We're not primarily a research institution. We are here to serve our patients and to treat each one of them as individuals, and to identify what are the issues, both the issues related to their disease, issues related to other conditions that they're dealing with, what we call comorbidity. So the patient who has heart disease or diabetes or hypertension or whatever the other issues are, and making sure that the treatment program that we create deals with every aspect of what's going on with that patient that we can identify, not just the tumor, not just their physical symptoms, but also the mental, emotional symptoms. And we use a wide variety of approaches, as I said, not only state-of-the-art, leading-edge, conventional therapies, but blending that with naturopathic medicine using natural products, herbal remedies, and other natural products, nutritional intervention, mind-body approaches, acupuncture, chiropractic, all of those approaches to make sure that we're optimizing everything that we can to the patient's benefit.
I like that approach. I like the patient being the center of the attention.
Well, and, you know, Carl, it's interesting. Everyone thinks that that's what healthcare is about. I mean, it should be about the patient. The reality is, for those of us who have been in healthcare, particularly in organized healthcare, it's really obvious that our healthcare system in the U.S. is not oriented around providing care to the patient. There are so many other folks who have a stake in the game that have distracted the healthcare system from the patient. The payers, the doctors, the regulators are all people who we pay a lot more attention to, unfortunately, than the patient. CTCA is really committed to focusing everything that we do on the needs of the patient.
I've been in public health most of my career, so I think we tend to be, in some ways, more patient-focused because we go out, well, as a nurse also, I was going out into the community working with individuals as well as working with groups. And if you didn't focus on the whole individual and you didn't focus on what they saw as their concerns, they threw you out. They didn't let you come to the house. So they had to be pretty much the focus of your attention. But that's getting off the subject. What process then do patients go through when they're admitted for cancer services?
The vast majority of our patients are self-referred. That is, they find us on the internet at cancercenter.com or through an ad that we run on television or radio, and they call us, and the first person that they'll talk to is an oncology information specialist who will answer their questions. Our oncology information specialists field over 1,000 telephone calls a day from cancer patients around the country, and the vast majority of those folks are seeking information, and the vast majority of them never come to CTCA for treatment, but we feel it's really important as part of what we give back to the community to be able to help cancer patients better understand their disease and understand the questions they should ask and understand what their treatment options are. If a patient does decide to come to us for care, typically they would come into our facilities for an initial period of evaluation that might last 3 or 4 days. And during that period of time, they will meet with a number of providers, usually at least a couple of medical doctors, including, depending on the situation, a medical oncologist, perhaps a radiation oncologist or a surgical oncologist, other specialists as needed. Our facilities are all hospitals, but the majority of our patients are treated as outpatients. In that initial 3-day evaluation, the patients will also meet with a naturopathic physician, with a nutritionist, with folks from mind-body medicine and other disciplines, so that everyone can kind of provide an assessment of that patient and really all pull together a comprehensive multidisciplinary treatment plan. We also will do other kinds of evaluation from a medical standpoint, depending on what's needed. So we might run additional CT scans or MRIs or PET scans. We'll do laboratory work and make sure that we really thoroughly understand the disease. We'll review the work that's already been done elsewhere. As I said, the majority of our patients have already gone to other facilities and have had their diagnosis done elsewhere frequently. So we'll review the pathology and the other scans that have been done to make sure that we have a very comprehensive picture of what is actually going on with this patient. And then we'll make our recommendations based on all of those assessments of what we think would be the best for the patient and answer any questions that the patient has. If the patient then chooses to pursue treatment with us, depending on what that treatment is, we would, in most cases, be ready to begin that treatment immediately. That treatment could be a chemotherapy regimen where the patient gets 1 to 3 days worth of chemotherapy infusions every 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. It could be radiation therapy, which is typically radiation every day, 5 days a week. It could run, depending on the situation, anywhere from 2 weeks to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
In those kind of situations, patients do stay locally at our facilities. We have hospitals in the Phoenix area, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Chicago area, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And when those patients are staying with us at all of our facilities, we have lodging options available, in some cases actually in the hospital itself or immediately adjacent to the hospital, or in other cases, arrangements with local hotels where the patients can stay for an extended period of time for someone getting radiation therapy, for
mm-hmm.
example. Most of our patients come back to us on a fairly regular basis. A chemotherapy patient, for example, getting chemotherapy every 21 days might be here for 3 days every 3 weeks. So literally they would fly in, let's say on a Monday, and they see the oncologist on Tuesday morning, have chemotherapy Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, fly home Thursday night or Friday
mm-hmm.
morning, and then would come back 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
If patients do need intensive medical services, if they need to be hospitalized for whatever reason, as I said, our facilities are all fully accredited, licensed hospitals, and we can simply admit the patient. The nice thing about that is all of those services are being offered under one roof, so a patient's care team doesn't change. Their oncologist is in the building even when they're admitted as an inpatient. Their nutrition team, their naturopathic team, all remain the same and active and available to provide care to the patient.
Mm-hmm. It looks like you can work with cancer patients having it in most any site. Is that correct?
In general, that's true. We do not treat pediatric cancer patients, so
mm-hmm.
we don't treat children with cancer. But in terms of adult cancers, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly not the case that every patient is appropriate for treatment, and we do attempt both on the phone before patients come to us, and certainly in person to make sure that we are doing a very thorough evaluation to determine appropriateness of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But there are very few cancer types that we would just automatically say that we don't treat. We are exceptional at treating the complex cancers, cancers that have shown to be resistant to other treatment in the past, patients who have been on multiple chemotherapy regimens, for
mm-hmm.
example, and where the cancer has persisted through that treatment, are things that we have been effectively dealing with for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly is a very typical kind of a patient who would come to us.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you'd like to add, then, to what you've said?
Well, I think that the key for us is in understanding the patient. As I said, our focus is on the patient and identifying their needs. But we understand that patients come to us expecting the very best
mm-hmm.
in knowledge and technology and expecting that innovative approach that is going to think outside the box and to make sure that we are leaving no stone unturned
mm-hmm.
in terms of determining what would be best for this patient, not what research protocol does this patient fit into or what's the standard of care. We pay attention to those things.
Mm-hmm.
But our focus is on what's the best thing for this patient sitting in front of me
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm. Then would you like to talk some about your book that came out in 2007 and how readers can access your book and how they can also access your center and how they can receive services?
Sure. The book is called How to Prevent and Treat Cancer with Natural Medicine. It is still available in a variety of venues. The easiest place, I think, to find it is online at something like Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
But it is available for ordering at local bookstores if it's not on the shelf. And it's a great resource in terms of kind of an overview of cancer, cancer treatment, and some of the basic things that we think apply to every patient. As I said, we take a very individualized approach,
mm-hmm.
and so nothing takes the place of having that individual assessment and treatment plan being developed. But the book has got some great information and resources that people find of value.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's interested in receiving services at Cancer Treatment Centers of America can access us on the web, www.cancercenter.com. They can call us at 1-800-234-0558. That's 1-800-234-0558. And they'll talk to an oncology information specialist who will answer their questions, provide information about Cancer Treatment Centers of America, and help facilitate getting appointments booked and facilitate transportation arrangements and those types of things.
Uh-huh.
Really to any one of our facilities in Arizona, Illinois, Oklahoma, or Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you very much, Dr. Birdsall. It's been interesting. I appreciate it.
Carl, thank you so much. I've enjoyed chatting with you.
Thank you.
My third guest is Mrs. Kelly Swoboda, a 31-year cancer survivor who used alternative interventions. In the past, Kelly was a social worker for nursing and currently stays home to care for her husband and mother. She has 2 children, 4 grandchildren, and 1 great-grandchild.
I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Kelly, and I look forward to an interesting discussion. First, tell me how you found out that you had cancer and what you think caused it.
I found out by going to the Dr. Mattson. I had a mole on my back,
mm-hmm.
and he had removed it and sent it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then he informed my parents that I had melanoma and that it had spread into my bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
And what caused it was the mole. And I had melanoma before when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
but they could reach it. They got it in time.
Mm-hmm.
I let the mole, it was my fault, go too far
mm-hmm.
myself.
And did you spend a lot of time in the sun?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And do you think that was...
Well, actually, not when I was younger. Let me back up.
Uh-huh.
Not when I was younger.
Oh.
Well, I had it when I was like 12, my first one,
mm-hmm.
and they removed it. And that was fine. I mean, they caught it all.
Mm-hmm.
And then they removed all the moles on my back, a dermatologist, and I don't remember the name of the dermatologist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the mole came back in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
And to be quite honest, let me retract that. Is this, I was laying out in the sun in an apartment complex I was living at,
mm-hmm.
and a nurse came up to me and said, "Have you had that mole on your back checked yet?"
Oh, she did.
And yes. And I said, no, and I should, and I know I should, because it was dark and it was rough.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I should, so I made an appointment with Dr. Mattson.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in, and that's when he had removed it.
Oh.
And instead of calling me, he called my mom, Paul, my dad,
mm-hmm.
his wife, and my whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And they knocked at my door. I'll never forget this. They knocked at my door, and they came up. And I said, "What are you doing here?" At that time, I was working as a leasing agent, and I had taken a day off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really shocked they were there. And they had told me that I had melanoma.
Mm-hmm.
And then it had gone to my, you know, that I had 6 months to live.
Oh, they gave you 6 months.
They gave me
oh.
6 months.
Mm.
And I'll never forget my dad grabbing me and holding me really tight. And they were praying for me, and I just fell through his arm. I'll never forget hitting my nose on his belt.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul and my mom, my stepdad and my mom, took
mm-hmm.
me to California for Laetrile treatments.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got back to here to Denver, I never felt much better. And I was still on Laetrile, taking Laetrile.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was giving me intravenous shots. And then when I went home to my husband, Mike, I was given myself,
mm-hmm.
which is intravenous. It's not just a shot. You put it intravenously.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a doctor at the University of Colorado, And he made this huge plan that he was going to remove my whole back and go 3 inches deep. And he went on and on what he was going to do, because at the time I weighed 78 pounds. I was losing weight. And he made this whole plan up. And to really be honest, I will give the whole glory and everything to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Because he actually is the one that healed me.
Right, right.
Because when I went to California and had lateral treatments there, the doctor that was there, that was behind the scenes, he had told my parents there was no way I was going to live.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Oh.
And when this doctor examined me here at University of Colorado, after he was done, my mom was sitting by the bedside, he came in and he said, "See, and I have all medical proof down in a file." He said, "I don't know whoever told you you had cancer. It's all gone."
Hmm.
Every bit of it was gone.
Now, how long did you take the lateral, Kelly?
How long did I take the lateral?
Mm-hmm.
About 2 months.
2 months?
Mm-hmm.
And were you on a special diet?
Yes, I was. But I took a lot of vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what they were, to be quite honest.
Uh-huh, right.
Mom and Paul had them.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple enema-type vitamins, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, the lateral
mm-hmm.
on top of it all.
But did you have a special diet where you had to avoid
food? Food-wise,
uh-huh.
I wasn't eating, to be honest, Carl.
You weren't?
At that point, I couldn't even swallow.
Oh.
I was at the point I couldn't swallow food.
Well, how were you getting nourishment then, other than the supplements?
That was how I was getting nourishment, was my supplements, and because I wasn't swallowing them, we were crushing those, and I drank milk
mm-hmm.
sometimes. And sometimes if I would sleep and relax a little bit, I could eat like a little bit,
mm-hmm.
a tiny bit, like a banana
mm-hmm.
or fruit, something like that, but not too much.
Mm-hmm. And you said that God helped you, so you were doing prayers.
We had prayer. Oh, God, help me. He didn't help me. He did it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Truthfully, he did it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a dream in California when I was in California
mm-hmm.
getting lateral.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sleeping. I woke up and I told my mom, I said, "You know, Mom," I said, "I had this dream that I had to be on a diet and lose all this weight." And you know what? It was true.
Mm-hmm.
I had to, let's see, it was 2 years ago. I got up to 135 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go on a diet and exercise and lose weight. So
mm-hmm.
what the Lord told me in the dream was true.
Now, did you use affirmations or visualization or any of the mental processes?
No, I did not.
No.
It was all prayer.
Mm-hmm. Well, that does it, right?
That did it. Yeah, that's totally, absolutely. I give all the glory to Jesus Christ. In fact,
right.
I just did a testimony at a healing deal at our church
mm-hmm.
on Friday night about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were doing the healing service.
Well,
and there were so many cancer survivors there from not taking anything, just from being healed by
mm-hmm.
the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I attribute my success 33 years ago to God also, and to my faith, and that was very important in my survival. But I did a lot of the mental processes, and I was on church prayer lists. And
yeah, so was I.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't, at that point in time, I wasn't really walking with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Truthfully, I was just, it was for other people praying for me.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the Lord. I knew Jesus, but I didn't know him.
Right.
Right now, I'm in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
I have totally fallen in love with him, and he's my Lord and Savior, and he's the one that takes care of me, and he's the one that healed me.
Right. Now, Kelly, it's been 31 years then, right, since
yes.
you had the treatment, and you've had no reoccurrence or anything?
No, I have no reoccurrence. I had a couple moles that Dr. Grossman
mm-hmm.
removed when he did moles. He's a plastic surgeon,
mm-hmm.
and he sent in, and they were on the verge of it, but they were okay. It didn't go anywhere. They got him.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep an eye on myself.
Right.
To make sure I look at them and make sure I don't have any more.
So the main thing then that you continue as far as the regime that you had is your prayer and your faith.
Yes, that's my main. Oh, yes.
Do you follow a specific diet now, or do you just eat whatever you want to eat?
I eat whatever I want to eat.
Oh, you do?
That's why I gained all my weight back.
Oh. Yeah.
Not that I wanted to weigh 78 pounds,
no,
because I look like a walking skeleton. But
right, yeah. Is there anything you'd like to say to the listeners about cancer or about treatment?
The only thing I would like to say about the people that are out there listening, that they need to turn to their faith,
mm-hmm.
and they need to believe that it's going to happen through Jesus Christ, so that they can be healed
mm-hmm.
by Him.
Mm-hmm.
And because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right. Right.
He never changed. He healed in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And He raised the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So if they would hold on to that.
Right. Yeah.
And family support is really helpful, too.
Right. Yeah.
Having
right.
your family there and the support of family or friends.
Well, you were lucky that you had a family that supported the Laetril, because when I took it, my family all were, well, why don't you do what the doctor wants you to do, which was surgery and chemotherapy. And my colleagues, who are all nurses, were not supportive of what I was doing either. I did have a very good friend who was available to me day or night if I had doubt, but I didn't have a lot of support around me, and I do think that's very important.
I think so, too, if we're telling the listeners that's so important to have
right.
your family and friends. And because my friends tend to think it was contagious at the time, and they just kind of ignore when they
mm-hmm.
they just kind of left.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard from them. I never saw them. They left you.
Right.
They don't mean to, and I'm not blaming them
right,
for that.
Right.
It's just they get scared.
Right. Right.
Instead of clinging to you or helping you through it. So thank God was there. Thank God my parents were
right,
there. And,
right. And that they supported this.
And they supported this and helped me through it.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard on them.
Yeah, it was. Right.
Took a lot out of them just as much as it did me.
Right.
But if they could just hold on to that and know that people do need to support
mm-hmm.
them. And I think they're more supportive nowadays than they used to be.
I do too. Right. Yeah.
Holistic medicine is a lot better to go that way than I think chemotherapy is a poison.
Right. I agree.
It's real poisonous, and people, all they are doing is suffering through chemotherapy.
And that's why I'm doing this four-month series, is so that people have the information and can make their own choice about what they want to do and will not be forced into something that they decide because they're frightened at the moment.
And they shouldn't be frightened, because if they really talk to their cancer doctor,
mm-hmm.
and if the cancer doctor, because we have one here named Shimon, I don't know if he's still alive,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Shimon,
mm-hmm.
he takes his family to Europe.
Oh, he does?
Oh, yes, he does.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just a propaganda sometimes in my head that the United States, just because the insurance company gets more money.
Well, so do the drug companies.
And the drugs, that's what I meant. The drug companies get more
right.
money.
Right.
And the doctors.
Right. Unfortunately.
And they don't treat their own family that way. They take them for holistic medicine and Laetril, and because there are cures out there.
Right. But I think things are slowly changing.
And I know they are, and I pray that they will change totally.
Right. Well, it's people like you and your prayers and people that are willing to try things that are different and buck the system that are bringing about this change.
I think so, too. It's going to change.
Yeah. So I'm optimistic.
I am, too.
Well, I thank you very much, Kelly. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me, and this is very interesting. I thank you for joining me for the Holistic Health Show tonight. Tomorrow, you can find a streaming of this show on my website at www.holistichealthshow.com. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a good evening.